This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Imagine this situation. So we've talked about it from the angle of the Prophet ﷺ. Now look at it from the angle of Aisha radiallahu anha. She knows she is innocent. She doesn't want to hear the Prophet ﷺ saying to her, if you've committed a sin. What does she want to hear? She wants to hear that we know 100% that you have not committed that sin. But the Prophet ﷺ, he was concerned about her akhirah. He did not know the ghaib. He did not know the unseen. And as such, the Prophet ﷺ gave those options. But at the same time, he defended her honor in public. Imagine Aisha radiallahu anha hearing these words. What does she say? Her tears ceased. But she says to her father, she's clearly upset. She's clearly angry about this situation. So she says to her father, she's helpless. Her husband, the one whom she loves so much, the one who loves her so much, the one who she had an amazing relationship with. He has said that if you have sinned, if you've fallen into sin, seek repentance. For her, this is grave, this is massive. So she turns to her father. She says, she doesn't start arguing about how dare you accuse me of this. How dare they? She doesn't do any of that. But she turns to her father and she says, oh my father, reply to the Messenger of Allah on my behalf. But now look at Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Let's change the scene now. How is he feeling? His own daughter of 15 years of age has been accused of zina wal'iyadha billah. Brothers and sisters who have daughters, think about what is going through his mind. Think about how he is feeling at this point. And he is the father-in-law of the Prophet ﷺ. But he realizes that this is the Messenger of Allah. I do not know what to say to the Messenger of Allah. Because Allah and His Messenger ﷺ know best. He knows better than me. He will do the right thing. Yes, you are my daughter, but I know the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will do the right thing, and my loyalty is to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam firstly and foremost. Despite the fact that I have this feeling of, you know, sadness of what's happened, sometimes we feel more pain. In fact, we feel more pain when something happens to our children than when it happens to us. So imagine what he's going through. So I do not know what to say to the Messenger of Allah. Aisha, helpless, radiallahu anha, she then turns to her mother. She says, oh my mother, respond to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tell him that I'm innocent. That's what she wants to hear. She's upset. She's been slandered. She wants someone to say that, no, I know 100%, not 99.999%. I want someone to say that I know 100% that you're innocent. But Umar also has a level of iman. She knows that this is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that he will do the best and the most right thing. So she says, I do not know what to say to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine what all four people in that room, what every single one of them is going through. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr and his wife radiallahu anha, and then Aisha radiallahu anha. Imagine. So she says, she's really upset now. She says, I still a young girl as I was, and I had little knowledge of the Quran. She was 15, she hadn't memorized the whole Quran by this point, it seems. And she says, by Allah, I know that you have heard this story, so much so that it has been planted in your minds and you have believed it. She's upset. The three closest people to her on earth have not clearly said that, you know what, you're 100% innocent. They've said that in public. They've defended her honor, but between them, right? So now if I tell you that I'm innocent and Allah knows that I'm innocent, you will not believe me. And if I confess to something and Allah knows that I'm innocent of that thing, you will believe me. She's really upset. So I, by Allah, I cannot find of you an example except that of Yusuf's father. Now, she doesn't remember the name of Yusuf, it seems. She's young, she's 15. She doesn't remember the name of Ya'qub alayhi salam. So she really says the father of Yusuf alayhi salam. And she remembers this ayah of the Quran. Right? She says, and notice, even though she's so upset, she doesn't start swearing or getting angry or any of that. This is the most she's ever said. And then she immediately turns it back to the Quran. She immediately turns her problems back to the Quran. She says, I can only say that what Yusuf alayhi salam's father said when he was upset, when he went through difficulty. Wallahu musta'anu ala ma tasifoon. And so patience, sabrul jameel, the patience is most fitting against that which you assert, and it is Allah whose help can be sought. And look how Allah tests her. That even the closest people to her, she cannot rely on them 110%. She can only rely on Allah. Brothers and sisters, when you go through trials and tribulations, don't turn to other people, turn to the Lord of those people. Turn back to Allah, because it is at this point, she knows that I have absolutely nobody to turn to but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She's been accused of adultery, brothers and sisters. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said to her that if you are innocent, Allah will declare your innocence. But if you have fallen into a sin, Allah is forgiving. And Allah will forgive, so repent to Allah. She's in this state, and her own parents have remained quiet at this point. Imagine what she's going through. But now, this is how Allah tests His slaves. Allah tests those whom He loves. When you go through trials and tribulations, think about these types of tests. Those who are tested the most, the Prophet ﷺ said, are the messengers, the prophets. And then most like them, then those most like them. Aisha radiallahu anha is beloved to Allah, so Allah tested her. And at this point, her tawakkul in Allah, her reliance in Allah, is so strong that He is the only one she turns to. She doesn't even rely on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not even on Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu or Umar radiallahu anha, her parents. So she says, I turned away and lay on my bed, and at that time I knew that I was innocent and that Allah will reveal my innocence. How did she know this? Two things. Number one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you're innocent, Allah will reveal your innocence. She has firm belief in what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And number two, she has a tawakkul in Allah. Allah will not neglect me. Allah will get me out of this situation. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has taqwa of Allah, whoever fears Allah, Allah will give him a way out. Allah will make a way out for him. So when you go through trials and tribulation, turn to Allah first and foremost. And know for certainty Allah will not neglect you if you do the right thing. So she knows that Allah will reveal her innocence.
But by Allah, I never thought that Allah would send down about my affair divine inspiration that will be recited forever. As I considered myself too unworthy to be talked about by Allah with something that was to be recited. But I hope that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam might have a vision in which Allah will prove my innocence.
SubhanAllah. Again, look at the humility of this amazing woman. The humility, brothers and sisters, the wife of the Prophet, the daughter of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. She says that I knew Allah would reveal my innocence, but I thought He might have a dream, a vision. I never thought that Allah would reveal ayat about me because I am so insignificant. Ayat that would be recited until Yawm al-Qiyamah. No, oh Aisha, you are not insignificant. No, she is not insignificant. She is an example for every single one of us to follow. And she is an example for every person until the Day of Judgment. But look at her humility. In her own eyes, she is insignificant. But in the sight of Allah, she is something well-deserving, she is well-deserving of ayat that are to be revealed and recited until the Day of Judgment.
By Allah, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not left his seat and nobody had left the house when the divine inspiration came to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they overtook him the same hard condition which used to overtake him when he was divinely inspired, so that the drops of his sweat were running down like pearls, though it was cold winter day. And that was because of the heaviness of the statement which was revealed to him. When that state of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was over and he was smiling when he was relieved, the first word he said was, "Aisha, Allah has declared your innocence. My mother said to me, get up and go to him. I said, by Allah, I will not go to him and I will not thank anybody but Allah." So Allah revealed, "Verily, those who spread the slander are again among you."
SubhanAllah, Allah then revealed the ayat of Surah An-Nur there and then. And this shows, Aisha radiallahu anha, initially, she turned to the Prophet ﷺ, she turned to her parents, responded to the Prophet ﷺ. But at that point, when she felt that she had nobody but Allah, and her trust went immediately straight to Allah and nobody else, at that point, relief comes. At that point, when she realized the only one who can help me out of this is Allah Jalla wa'ala, at that point, relief comes and ayat were revealed that were to be recited until the Day of Judgment, declaring the innocence of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayat. Is there someone in that room? No. Can they play the audio? Can you play the audio if you're in the room, please? Oh, go ahead. He reveals these ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals these ayat from Surah An-Nur.
So we're just going to go over them very quickly because we need to finish with inshallah.
Allah says, "Indeed, those who came with falsehood are a group from among you." In other words, they are not from, you know, someone else. They're not from our external community. They're not from the enemies outside. They are from among you. They're among you. Then Allah says, "La tahsabuhu sharran lakum, bal huwa khayrun lakum." Don't think this was bad for you. Rather, it is good for you. How can it be good for you? How can it be good for you when somebody's been slandered? How can it be good for her? Because Allah raises her status on the Day of Judgment. Because her sins will be forgiven. Her status will be raised. On top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He showed the rest of mankind until the Day of Judgment how we should behave in situations like this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't think it is bad for you, rather it is good for you. For every person among them is what punishment he has earned from the sin. In other words, they will get 80 lashes. Everyone who concocted this lie, they will get 80 lashes, except for one person. And he who took upon himself the greater portion thereof. Who is that? The one who made the lie, who created that lie in the first place, concocted that lie. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. For him is a great punishment. In other words, Allah will not punish him, the Prophet will not punish him in this world, but Allah will punish him in the hereafter. And therefore, this is the only person this applies to. It's a special law that he won't be punished in this world. So he was not lashed. The other people, the Sahaba, they got lashed. Those who spread the lie. But Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he was not lashed. In fact, Allah is saying, no, he will get the punishment in the hereafter. The others, because they repented, Allah will forgive them. Why, when you heard it, listen carefully. Why, when you heard it, did not the believing men and believing women think good of themselves and say this is an obvious falsehood? Now the translation here says good of one another. Right? That's one translation. But the correct translation, the more accurate translation,
is think good of themselves, anfusihim, right? Themselves. And this is pertinent because there's a point of eloquence here in the Quran. Why, when you heard it, did not the believing men and women think good of themselves? What does this mean? One of our sheikhs said, this means that when one person is slandered, it is as if you are all slandered. When one part of the ummah is hurt, the whole ummah feels the pain. So Allah is saying, why when the believing men and women did not, why did they not think good of themselves? It is as if you yourself has been slandered. Why did they not say, this is an obvious falsehood? Now, Allah says, why when you heard it? When you heard it. Not when ayat were revealed. Not when they've been proven innocent. As soon as you heard it, why did you not think good of that person, of each other, of themselves? Why did they think good of them and say this is an obvious falsehood? How can you say that when you don't know? Based on which principle? Innocent or proven guilty. You have to defend the honor of your fellow Muslim. It's obligatory. So when you hear these things, not later on when everything becomes clear, no, the minute it comes to your ears, when you heard it, why did not the believing men and women think good of themselves and say this is an obvious falsehood? It's a really important point then. Allah continues. Why did they, those who slandered, why did they not produce for it four witnesses? And when they do not produce the witnesses, then it is they in the sight of Allah who are liars. And what is important, Allah says in the sight of Allah, this means that even if they had three witnesses, even if they genuinely saw this, if they utter it, Allah defines this as a lie. And in fact, the burden of proof is so strong in Islam that four witnesses have to see the act of penetration. In one narration it says, the kuhl go in the kuhl pot. In other words, you must see the pen go in the ink. The act of penetration. And there is one narration where Umar ibn al-Khattab, a person was brought to him and said that this person, he committed adultery. And they came with four witnesses. Three of the witnesses, they saw the pen go in the ink, they said. The fourth witness, and I apologize for being a bit graphic, but this is, for me, I think this is really important to know. Because in today's time, we would say this is overwhelming evidence. But I want you to know what happened. The fourth witness, he says, I didn't see the pen go in the ink, but I saw the man on top of the woman going up and down the tree. He said to that level of detail. What did Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu do? He lashed those witnesses. Because you did not bring, because there's still an element of doubt. You did not bring four witnesses who saw the pen go in the ink, who saw the act of penetration. This is the high level of burden of proof when it comes to slandering somebody. Okay? Why did they not produce for it four witnesses? And when they did not produce witnesses, then they are the ones in the sight of Allah who are the liars. And if it had not been for the favor of Allah upon you and His mercy in this world and the hereafter, you would have been touched for that lie. In other words, punished, in which you were involved by a great punishment. So Allah says, you know, Allah, it's because of Allah's favor upon you that He did not punish you for that lie. Allah continues, when you received it with your tongues and said with your mouths that which you had no knowledge, and you thought it was insignificant while it was in the sight of Allah tremendous. When you received that information, that lie with your tongues, how can you receive it with your tongues? You receive it with what? Your ears, right? So why is Allah saying when you received it with your tongues? This is balagha of the Quran. This is an example of eloquence of the Quran. Allah is saying that it came so, you, as soon as you heard it, you spread it so quickly that it is as if it bypassed the ears. It almost immediately went to your tongue. It bypassed your ears. Beautiful eloquence of the Quran. And this is the nature of rumors. The minute you hear it, you spread it. The minute you hear it, you spread it. By the way, those who need to pick up their children, feel free to go. I'll just continue in order to finish it. But anyone who does need to go, feel free to go, child. Is that okay, yeah?
Sure.
We continue? I know it's a lunch break. We've just got a few more minutes, child.
Brothers and sisters, if you can go pick up your kids at 8 plus, it has started to rain a bit, so please go pick them up with any of the children 4 to 7. Please go pick them up on the left hand side because I'm going to lock it.
So, we'll just continue for those of you who remain, inshallah. Allah says, when you received it with your tongues, this is the nature of rumors, and said with your mouth that which you had no knowledge, and thought it was insignificant, listen carefully, while it was in the sight of Allah tremendous. And this is the nature of rumors. You think it's just something minor, it's something small, but in the sight of Allah it's huge. The punishment is huge. May Allah protect us from this. We have to be careful with what we say with our tongues. And why when you heard it? When wahi comes? When revelation comes? No, when you heard it, as soon as you hear it. Why when you heard it, did you not say, it is not for us to speak of this, exalted are you, O Allah. This is a great standard. Look at this, Allah is commanding us to say that this is a lie, as soon as we hear it, even if we don't have any evidence either way. Allah doesn't say to you to say, oh, you know what, I don't know if it's true or not. No. You have to take a positive stance. You can't remain in the middle. You have to take the side of the one who has been accused. Because why? Because he is innocent until proven without any doubt to be guilty. You can't say, you can't stand in the middle. This is bad. Allah is saying, well, you must take the side of the one who is accused. Why, when you heard it, did you not say, it is not for us to speak of this, exalted are you, O Allah. This is a great slander. You have to say it's a slander. Allah warns you against returning to the likes of this conduct ever if you should be believers. And Allah makes clear to you the verses, and Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. Indeed, those who like an immorality should be spread or publicized among those who have believed will have a painful punishment in this world and thereafter, and Allah knows that which you do not know. And by the way, this ayah, again, eloquence. Allah uses the word tashi' al-fahisha, right? Tashi' means two things. It means to spread and it also means to publicize. Spread means those who like immorality to be spread, meaning they like other people also do immorality. They will get this punishment. But publicize means they don't want other people to do immorality, but they're publicizing that someone else has done immorality. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? He did this. This is publicizing immorality. Among those who believe will have a painful punishment, even if they're believers, they'll have a painful punishment in this world and in the hereafter, and Allah knows that which you do not know. And if it had not been for the favor of Allah upon you and His mercy, and because Allah is kind and merciful, dot, dot, dot. In other words, Allah doesn't finish the sentence. Right? O you who have believed, do not follow the footsteps of Shaytan. Okay, and anyway, Allah continues. So Allah revealed those ayat between, ayat number 11 to number 20. From 11 to 20.
Now.
When Allah revealed this to confirm my innocence, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, who used to provide...
Sorry, before that, I forgot this point. Her mother, Umm Ruman, said to Aisha radiallahu anha, get up and thank the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did Aisha radiallahu anha reply? I'm not thanking him. Right? I'm not thanking him. He's my husband. Remember, this is again the playful relationship that they had. She's still upset. She's still upset. Just a few minutes ago, the Prophet said, if you've committed a sin, then repent. I'm not thanking him. I'm only thanking Allah. Allah is the one who defended my honor. Right? And so again, he shows the playful kind of nature. They were humans. Yeah, there's a human side to their relationship. So I said, I will not thank anybody but Allah. So she was very clear on this point. And again, it shows the natural kind of relationship that they had.
Abu Bakr Siddiq, who used to provide for Mustaq ibn Uthatha because of the latter's kinship to him and his poverty, said, "By Allah, I will never provide for Mustaq anything after what he has said about Aisha." So Allah revealed, "Let not those among you who are good and are wealthy swear not to give help to their kinsmen."
So here, listen to this, right? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his daughter has just been slandered. And one of the people who spread this lie, they didn't concoct it, was Mistah radiallahu anhu, a companion. And he fought in Badr. And he's forgiven for that. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to give financial aid to Mistah. Mistah was obviously his cousin's son, so his kinship. But he was also a muhajir, he'd migrated, and also he fought in Badr. So when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu heard that Mistah said this about his own daughter, about his daughter, Aisha radiallahu anha, he wanted kind of revenge, if you like. Not revenge, but he said, you know, he thought of the worst possible thing that he could do. And the worst possible thing he could do is, I'm not going to give him any more financial aid. I'm not giving him any money. I used to give him money. Right? He's poor. I'm not going to do that anymore. How can I? He slandered my daughter. But this is not enough for Allah. This is not enough because Abu Bakr is higher than this. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has to show a higher level of moral character. What does Allah say? Let not those among you who are good and are wealthy, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was very rich, let them not swear, take an oath to give, that they won't give any help to their kinsmen, people related to them. Those in need, and those who have left their homes for Allah's cause. Allah has commanded from above the seven heavens to Abu Bakr that no, for you, you have to be better. Do not take an oath that you will not give him any money. And this shows, look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look who's reciting these ayat. These ayat have been revealed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the husband of Aisha radiallahu anha. And he's reciting these ayat about a person who has what? Who has slandered his own wife. Falsely. And so the Prophet ﷺ is reciting these ayat, and they are being told to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that do not stop giving them financial aid, even though they might have sinned. Even though they might have sinned. And not only that, Allah mentions the good points of this person who has sinned. Allah talks about his good points. Allah talks about the fact that he's left his homes for the sake of Allah. Not just left his home, but left his home for Allah's cause. That he fought, that he migrated, that he's a kinsman. He's poor. Don't stop giving him financial aid. Then look at what Allah says next. He says, let them pardon and forgive. Do you not love that Allah should forgive you? Verily, Allah is of forgiving and most merciful. Brothers and sisters, this is our Lord. Our Lord, most merciful, the forgiving, from above the seven heavens is revealing to the Prophet ﷺ. And Aisha is beloved, is the most beloved person to the most beloved person to Allah. Allah's most beloved person is whom? Is the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. And this person he spoke about, Aisha radiallahu anha, who is the most beloved person to the most beloved of Allah. And despite that, Allah is saying to this woman's father, the woman who's been slandered, don't stop giving financial aid. Allahu Akbar, this is Islam. Islam is about forgiveness, pardoning other people despite the mistakes that they've made, getting them to repent to Allah, not punishing them. Avoiding that at all costs. And Allah then goes on to say, let them pardon and forgive. Why? Do they not wish that they should be pardoned and forgiven? Don't they wish that Allah pardons them and forgives them? This is a general rule in Islam. The way you treat others, Allah will reward you accordingly. If Allah's Messenger was asked, Ya Rasulullah, what should I do to save myself from the anger of Allah?
the Prophet said, don't be angry. In other words, save others from your anger. In another hadith, the Prophet said, Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhumur Rahman. Those who show mercy, Ar-Rahman will show mercy to them. The way you treat others, Allah will treat you, brothers and sisters. And here is another example of this theme. Do they not wish that Allah forgives them? If you want Allah to forgive you, then forgive others. What does Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu say? He does not hesitate. He does not say, but he slandered my daughter. He does not say anything except what? He said, wallahi, I swear by Allah that I wish Allah should forgive me. He says, I swear by Allah that I wish that Allah should forgive me.
So he resumed giving Misbah the aid that he used to give him before and said, by Allah, I will never withhold it from him at all.
Allahu Akbar, this is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. As soon as the ayah comes down, he does not hesitate. He says, yes, I want Allah's love, and I want Allah to forgive me. And he said, he now takes an oath, I will never stop giving him aid until I die. Allahu Akbar. Now, when we finish it off, this last few points.
Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also asked Zaynab bint Jahsh about my case. He said, O Zaynab, what have you seen? She replied, O Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I protect my hearing and my sight by refraining from telling lies. I know nothing but good about Aisha. All of the wives of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was Zaynab who aspired to receive from him the same favor as I used to receive. Yet Allah saved her from telling lies because of her piety. But her sister Hamna kept on fighting on her behalf, so she was destroyed as were those who invented and spread the slander.
So here Aisha radiallahu anha is saying that the Prophet, when he went to Ali and Barira and Usama, he also went to Zainab. Now Zainab was a co-wife of the Prophet radiallahu anhu majma'in, and of Aisha, sorry, she was a co-wife with Aisha radiallahu anhu. And Zaynab was also beautiful, and she was also one from among the younger wives of the Prophet. And she also aspired to receive the same treatment that the Prophet would give Aisha, the same love, in other words. Right? The Prophet was equal, but his heart could only, you know, it's natural. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would put heart, love of, you know, this person above the other. But he treated them equally. Zaynab, when the Prophet asked her, have you seen anything? She only had to say one word. Yep, I saw that man come into this house. Into her house. And that's it. He would have divorced Aisha and she would have been, you know, she would have been free of this co-wife. But it is her iman that stopped her from this. And this is really important. That Aisha radiallahu anha, she's grateful and thankful of this, and she praises her for this. That it is her iman, her piety, her taqwa that stops her from committing this grave sin. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to benefit from these lessons. SubhanAllah, there are so many lessons from this. I really had to rush. I apologize for going over time. But honestly, if you gave me a whole, maybe 2 days, I could speak about just this hadith. Absolutely phenomenal. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to act upon the great lessons and morals from this great hadith, and to allow us to forgive us, to make us people who forgive others, to make us make our tongues not speak bad about other Muslims, and rather to be people who are upright and can benefit from these moral characters. And to allow us to increase ourselves in the sight of Allah. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.